When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It's been a little while here, about a month and a half after the draft, but we are getting back into it here, especially at training camp, ready to ramp up within the week. We're going to get into all that, but before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here tonight. We got UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And Bob.
Hello, hello.
All right, gentlemen, so we're recording this on July 16th. First of all, before we just get into the Detroit Lions of it all, it's been a little bit. How is everybody's summer? How has it been? UJ, you were just telling us that you took a little trip.
Yeah, I went to Alaska, partly a train ride up to Denali, see the mountain, absolutely beautiful, and largest mountain in North America, you know. And then...
That's McKinley, right?
Nah, it used to be, but now it's Denali. They changed it, you know. So, anyway, that was awesome. And our second half of our trip was on a cruise from Seward, Alaska, down to Vancouver. So it was quite a nice trip, nice. About 15 days, and it was great. It was kind of rejuvenating, I guess.
Did you wear your Lions gear? Did you see any Lions gear?
I did. I wore Lions gear there, and I saw a couple Lions fans along the way, believe it or not. And I was also...
You found them all the way in Alaska, huh?
Yeah. And in Vancouver, our hotel was right across from the stadium where Matthew Betts played his football for the BC Lions. So right. You know, I thought that was kind of a... Maybe that was...
That's, of course, the D-end that the Lions signed out of the Canadian Football League, the Defensive Player of the Year out of the Canadian Football League.
Yes, yes. I thought that was kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fantastic. How about you, Bob?
Yeah, I didn't do anything as exciting as that. But I did spend some time up in Traverse City, 4th of July. It's lovely up there. I did see Lions fans up there, as you'd expect. but pretty mellow, but been a nice summer. How about you, Z?
Oh, it's been great, you know, just watching my little guy grow up, just moving around during the summertime, trying to get him to learn how to play baseball right now. It's a gradual process to the football, right? Football's a little bigger, so just get him to throw the baseball first, and we'll get him to the football next. Well, that sounds great, and I'm sure we all had a lot of dreams about and no nightmares from the NFC Championship, just dreams of the Lions 2025 Super Bowl victory as well. Many, many beautiful nights of sleep in between. But nonetheless, the Lions have here coming up in their off-season schedule. The rookies are reporting on July 20th, so that's 4 days from when we're recording this on July 16th. And then July 23rd, all the veterans will pull up. So a week from today, that is next Tuesday.
And that, of course, sounds right around the corner.
It is right around the corner. That's right, UJ. And it's taking place in Allen Park again. And you know the beginning of what's the phrase they've been using? Like some of the players I can't remember. They were saying it during the jersey reveal. I thought, like, a lot of them were saying, like, the same phrase. Like, we got to get it back or something. I don't know. I didn't write it down before we jumped on here. So
I'm not sure.
And while we're still in our kind of intro phase, Rud Dog has hopped on as well. Rud Dog, hello.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me, Rud Dog? All right. Well, Red Dog is still working on the audio, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, so we're 1 week away from training camp starting. Red Dog will just interrupt me whenever he gets his audio back. But nonetheless, there's some big news that happened while we were gone. The biggest news of it all is the Lions might have found the kicker of the future, a guy that we've referenced several times during this offseason that we thought would come. But the guy is Jake Bates. The Lions signed him to a 2-year contract to complete with Michael Badgley. But this man can boom it a mile. I don't know if anybody watched him in UFL. But it was a lot of fun to watch him kick. Can you guess in the last 4 years how many 50-yard field goals the Lions have made in the last 4 years? Any guesses? Well,
that's 4 years. Ooh, that's a good one, Z. I'm going to say 5.
It's higher than that. I'll say that much. Bob, what do you think?
8. I'll go with 8.
8. Rud Dog, are you with us now?
12.
Oh, he's with us. Yes, 12 is the right answer, though. And Rud Dog, welcome to the pod. 12 is the right answer. Jake Bates made 10 in his one season in the UFL. But Rud Dog, now that I have you, how is your summer going?
Fantastic.
That's come on now, a little more enthusiasm, man. Wow. This is the Lions 2025 season coming up, the Super Bowl season. Let's get after it, huh?
I'm excited.
Wow. It's a mellower Rud Dog this year.
I know. Wow. You're doing some different training in the offseason.
I can't help like gushing over every freaking aspect of this team and program from every angle, watching incessantly videos and listening to different takes on how amazing this team is. Honestly, like, this is the best time to ever be a Lions fan. Like, just be in it. Like, it just feels amazing. Like, so yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, sure. there's definitely a lot of positive vibes around this team and their Super Bowl chances. They're the top four in odds to win the Super Bowl, which is hard to.
Hey, what do you guys think? Since we're near the kicker topic still, I just want to.
Yeah.
The fact that the Lions, then they waived James Turner and then the Packers picked him up right away. I wonder if that'll affect us down the road, like when we have to face those guys.
He's gonna remember every team that cut him to before he went to the Packers and recite it.
he's gonna remember every player that was drafted before him too. All 500.
Create our own monster.
Yeah.
But Jake Bates, this man used to kicking in Ford Field already by virtue of playing for the Michigan Panthers in the UFL. If you got the chance to watch him, he can kick a 62-yarder like it's a 30-yarder. I mean, he's hitting the middle of the net on 62-yarder. It's ridiculous. I don't know how this guy got to where he was.
Zach, can we honestly say that you just love this guy?
I mean, I think he's awesome.
You like have an infatuation with this guy, I think.
I have a question, though not to overshadow Zach's infatuation. But do you guys – what is the distinction when it comes to, like, a kicker – like from like the minor league, whatever he was in, to the NFL, like, do they kick the same size ball through the same size uprights? Like,
yes.
Like, so I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, it seems like we should probably be able to predict pretty well then his transition, right? Like, unless he just can't handle the extra crowd size or something.
Well, that's a big thing, right? Like, just playing at the NFL level, even from a kicker, so there's extra pressure. There's more money on the line for him, et cetera. So there's a lot more on the line in that sense. Definitely a louder crowd. But especially for a guy that hasn't really kicked much in his career and in a football game. UFL is his first big exposure to it. So at least he's kicking in a place that he's already comfortable kicking in. But do you guys think this signing means that the Lions, if it's 4th and 4 from the 45, are they more likely... Now, this is assuming Jake Bates makes a team. He doesn't completely F it up in the training camp.
No, Z, I already know your question, and I'm just going to answer it. No.
Are they going to still go for it, or does the mentality just ever so slightly change?
No.
I think it ever so slightly changes.
Yes, I agree.
Especially during the regular season last year. I mean, well, they could have done it in the 49ers game, but there was some opportunities that they passed by that they could have kicked field goals. And well, I think they would have if they had a stronger leg kicker.
But. I agree, Bob. I think you're exactly right on that. I don't think they had the confidence in their kicker last year.
Mm-mm.
From distance. And I think, yeah, the way Zach put it, they'll ever so slightly change because I think he's still going to be aggressive and go for it a lot. But there are times when I think he'll take the points gladly. So, yeah.
Maybe if he just wants to give, like, some, like, love to his kicker, I guess. Maybe I could agree with that, like, line. But I honestly don't think that was the real factor in why he went for it. So,
I don't know. So they're on the opponent's 45-yard line. There's 11.5 minutes left in a tie ball game. Are the Lions going for it, Red Dog, or are they kicking?
Dan Campbell's unpredictable. Dan Campbell's unpredictable. It's impossible to know.
I guess we don't know how Jake Bates' arm is yet.
Well, here's the thing. We saw them kick a 50-plus yarder with Badgley in the playoffs. Did that show a deep distrust of Badgley? Who was it? Who did it help us beat? The
point.
Rams, was it?
Yeah, it's the Rams. Against the Rams, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, was the only time he did it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fourth and unmanageable.
Hey, I think it's Dan Campbell's loathing of settling for a field goal that is why he wants to go for it, and realizing the strategic and statistical advantage of using fourth down more often to go for it. I don't think it's because we had Badgley. I just don't think
Red Dog
was a factor.
That sounds ridiculous. If we had Justin Tucker, you're saying they would do the same exact calculus last year on all their kicks. You know,
if they want to just give Justin some love sometimes, just be like, hey, all right, man, just kick.
If we had a great kicker, I don't know.
I don't remember a game where we went felt like a great kicker would have made Dan Campbell want to kick it instead. I don't know.
I think the better question would be, in the NFC Championship game, would we have kicked instead of going for it on fourth down?
No, I don't think so.
A lot of people are blaming Campbell for blowing that game for not going for the field goals. Which I totally disagree with, but
I agree with that.
You know,
in the context of that, I especially hold my stance. But maybe there's a tiny change throughout this course of a whole season. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to weigh too heavily, if at all.
I would guess they kick it 10% more than.
Well, no, I don't think it's a piece of
Red Dog. Then why would you switch kickers then? Because Badgley was already pretty accurate with the stuff they gave him. Why would you even try to get a?
We might not switch
kickers.
You know,
Badgley's in the battle.
Bates is kind of it could be a kryptonite to Campbell. It's on the 50-yard line. He can line up for a 67-yarder at any time, and Campbell, as wild as he is with some of the things, he'll like, we're going to kick this thing.
I think having the high-end option is obvious. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with making why you make your decisions in terms of, like, because you're scared you're not going to get it. As long as it's in your kicker's range, I think Dan Campbell's going to trust his kicker. But, you know,
so that
I
does
agree,
change
a better
it,
range
then.
Is, yeah, he's going to give some love.
You've argued against yourself. You said it's his range because he'd have a bigger range. So.
You know, I can see Campbell going for
it. But not because Dan Campbell, like, was so scared of the kicker.
I could see him going for like a 67-yarder just to see if the guy can do it.
I think
just
he can.
To entertain the fans.
I could see something like that, too.
If he kicks it like he did in the UFL this past year, he absolutely can make that. Of course, it's got to be the right kick, but he was making 62-yarders with ease. So I think he can do it from 70, honestly, especially if the air conditioning is blowing the right way.
What about 80?
I think we're getting a little crazy now.
You gotta try it once, right?
Yeah, you know
that's where I think Dan would be
too,
okay settling for a field,
or whoever our kicker is, or the punter. I guess it depends on who we have.
Well, the kicker's gonna have to be highly skilled this year. They're gonna have to drop kickoffs in.
Well, right, that's what I was leading.
Sorry.
I don't know who will be that guy. So that is an extra skill, and from a critique standpoint, if you're the coach. Who to maybe put out there, because that is a very important kick now. I think ideally you'd like want it on the hash inside the five or something like that with backspin. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how these teams.
Yeah. Kickoff specialist is going to have like nothing to do with leg power anymore. Unless it's like to kick it really high or something.
Right. The height. Yeah. Well, the height doesn't even matter because you can't move until they make contact.
So weird.
With the ball. Like, nobody can move until the guy touches the ball. So.
Right.
Or the ball hits the ground, one of the two.
I think kickoffs are going to be fun again this year.
Right. I think the kickoff, the touchback rate last year was like 64%, something ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And it's been increasing every year. So
it's goofy because they designed it to make the touchback thing go up. And then they were like, oh, this doesn't work. Let's change it.
Right, like, right.
I mean, yeah. They got what they wanted, like less kickoff returns.
Yeah, but they pissed off every fan that watches football.
No, I'm with you. I like kickoff
returns. It's all based on the health angle. They want to limit the collisions at speed.
Yeah.
Well. That's what kickoff gets you. We'll see.
Well, it's better having it than not having bubbles. It at all. The rule.
Yes.
So. We'll see how it plays because it could be kind of awkward in some ways. Like, onside kick is kind of all but dead. Like,
The surprise onside kick. You're never going to get what the Saints did in the Super Bowl against the Colts, for instance.
Right. Like that kind of thing.
Hey, well, now if they do the onside kick, the kicker's all by himself. But he's just kick it 10 yards. He can run down and fall on it, right?
Yeah.
They forget to change that rule.
if only that was a rule. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
But let's hop over now. We could talk about kicking more this offseason. But overall, the Lions have a lot to look forward to. This training camp, obviously a ton to look forward to, especially expectation-wise going into this season. But I just want to go around right now with training camp kicking off in a week. Just one thing that we're looking for here. Not necessarily a question mark. Just one thing to get you excited about this training camp. We'll get into questions next. Some question marks, but just something that gets you excited about this training camp that you're really looking forward to is the rookie class, someone from the rookie class,
one thing,
receiver, etc. Well, we'll start with you, Bob. But what gets you excited about this training camp?
Well,
one thing,
you're making me narrow it down, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited about the whole thing, but
right.
I would say if I have to pick something, I'm excited to see those defensive backs, what they're like, you know, Arnold and Rigstra, see what those guys are going to bring to the table. Because that's secondary with our Branch coming back, you know, and he's going to be good. They're going to be hard hitting out there, tighter coverage. It's going to let Hutch make a little more noise at the line. So I'm excited about that. That'll be the one thing for me.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, these guys young, the Lions are really bulking up back there. They're throwing bodies at the problem. It'll be a lot of fun. See those guys. Who do you, do we think Terron Arnold is going to be a starter, a cornerback?
Yes.
Game one?
Absolutely. Game one.
I think so.
I think so as well.
Yeah. I would think so too, but the Lions like to take their time with these guys, so it wouldn't surprise me if he was not.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I could see him gunning for CB1 by the end of the year. I can see him like pushing Davis to two.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Cam Sutton.
There's no easy positions in this team now. You know, everybody's going to be fighting.
God, right? So much.
Yeah, well, this is crazy. Like, if you just go back to like when we first started the podcast to now, like, just the confidence that we have in this roster, just night and day difference. Every position. It's crazy how they've built this team up.
I know when you see analysis of the Lions, like, well, they don't have any really weaknesses.
Right.
You know, like, you're like, what? It's the Lions. Man. I mean, I agree with it. It's awesome.
It's my Detroit Lions.
All right, how about you, Red Dog? One thing that you're really looking forward to.
Oh, God, it's so hard.
Do we need to come back to you?
No.
Looks like he's taking a dump over there.
It's just so hard to pick one thing. Oh, God. Jack Campbell. I want to see him start to show up in camp. I think he's going to be in for an all-pro season this year. I just think that dude is going to be a game changer for our defense.
Do you think we see him over the middle more this year?
I think we see him everywhere. But, yeah, I think he's going to probably settle into the mic spot a bit more because that's what they kind of seem to be intending. And I think it makes sense. Like, honestly, in a 4-3 set, he'd be your giant Mike with your kind of slender Will as Anzalone and your beefy strong side guy as Barnes. That's a nice looking 4-3 right there. Though I have a feeling it's going to be mostly only two linebackers. Though I think it's going to be crazy. It's going to be so fun. There's so many options. but yeah, Jack Campbell, man. I just think the whole core of linebackers and the D lines and the. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No. You take.
I mean, what do you think is the biggest improvement that you want to see out of Campbell? It's got to be his pass coverage, right?
Oh, I just think I just think him settling in and really just making that next step to being just like the dynamo he's meant to be, because I think the mental part of the game is going to finally catch up, and he's got the athletic ability, and it's just going to be watch out league. I think this dude is he's set to be. I think people will start to compare people to him in the future, and not Keekly, because I think he's going to be just his own monster. He's just so unique.
All right, where did Keekly fit in there?
Because that's what everyone's like. Oh, like maybe he could be Keekly, like for us, or like that's the comparison. Like he's like the benchmark,
yeah,
for like off-ball linebackers of that sort, like bigger.
I see.
And I think he's going to be the benchmark. Like people are going to want guys like him going forward. That's like he's going to be the prototype.
I see. All right. Well, yeah. Jack Campbell, I think, we're really looking forward to seeing his progression in year two. How about you, UJ?
All right. Like you guys, too, I'm excited about all of it. I mean, every bit of it. And my first inclination was going to be the secondary, like Bob said. But for the sake of this discussion, I'm going to say the defensive line, and to see who's going to be that guy, that solid guy opposite Hutch. Is it going to be Davenport? Is he going to revive his career and have a good year? Is Pascal going to finally live up to what we think he can be? Is Houston going to be back? I mean, we got a lot of question marks there, but a lot of really potential good players too at the same time. So I think our D line is going to be just potentially great this year, but there are question marks. So, and someone's going to have to rise up and claim it. So, it's going to be a real interesting battle in camp. I mean, Anzurike trying to keep his career going with the addition of Reader and McNeil just coming into his own as a all pro. I mean, our D line could potentially be just one of the best in the league. And I think it's going to be a fun battle to watch this year.
They just got DJ Reader healthy into the playoffs. That's the key with him.
Yeah. They're not going to rush him. They're not going to rush him.
Yeah. Rotate him in a lot, maybe just send him in a couple weeks now and then to sit him out.
Yeah,
that'll be good for Broderick Martin in camp, though, to really get a lot of reps in.
Yeah, he lost a bunch of weight, right? If I recall,
yeah,
he lost weight.
You know, he's only like 320.
Is it 320? Is that what he is now?
Maybe it's like 350. He's big.
Yeah, he looks a lot slimmer.
Oh, yeah, he's monster. He's monster. Yeah, it'd be great to just see him out there, period, this year. That'd be a good start.
He's got the type of skill set, though, that if he comes near his potential, he could be an absolute monster. Like, you don't 6'5 tackles that can move, like, that are over 300 pounds like that, just don't just grow on trees. Like, if he could develop his skill set, oh my gosh.
I can't believe none of you have said it yet, but the thing I'm most excited to see is how this monster of a human being, Giovanni Manu, is going to look at training camp. Yeah, I just want to see this giant out there and see, like, I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains for him, as we expect. But I just want to see if he can at least hold up his own every once in a while and see the raw talent that made the Lions trade a third round pick a future third round pick in the fourth round to grab this guy. Because there's a lot of question marks about should they grab him, should they not, or like was it a good move, bad move type thing. But let's see if that's justified with some of the tape and some of these preseason games that we see.
Well, here's the difference between Brad Holmes and the rest of the league. I think a lot of teams were looking at Manu. A lot of them were, and they knew who he was. He wasn't like an unknown. And the Lions, though, they're ballsy enough to go after these guys that they don't need them right away. They know this. They can develop the guy. So I think it was a great gamble on Holmes to take this guy. He's an athletic freak. I mean, he ran a 4.97 or something at 350 some pounds.
Right.
Just absurd.
6'9" or
something. And I mean, so his athletic ability is off the charts. I think it was a great pick. But like you said, Z, I'm excited to see how he holds his own in camp. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, any early returns on him would be huge to like just assure people that he's got something going forward. Because it's hard to hide. I mean, if he's looking that bad, we might be able to hide him on the practice squad. But I just have a feeling he's going to look and show enough to be some sort of like depth guy, like maybe an inactive guy, but make the 53-man roster. Though I think Mahogany probably is more ready to step into like an immediate backup role, despite their order of drafting.
Right. Yeah. Mahogany, or 6th round guard. Out of Boston College. I would agree with that, Red Dog, in terms of who's probably a little more ready, but the upside on Manu's massive. So I do think they'll stash him away at the end of the 53, so another team cannot grab him.
I think so.
I think it's almost guaranteed he makes a roster in some capacity, just because of what they gave up for him, basically. He would have to be a complete bust in training camp for them to not keep him on the roster. UJ kind of brought up like question marks, so that was the next part of the podcast I want to get to, the question marks coming into this training camp. I think there's several, and I wanted to start it, at least the question mark I have is who, and nobody mentioned in their excitement, which is fine, I limited it to one each, but the wide receiver position for the Lions. After Amon-Ra St. Brown, it is kind of it's a little bit open. I think Lions have huge expectations for J-Mo. And I guess the question is, will he step up in that number two, almost 1A, 1B role? Or if he doesn't, then who else is going to be there to step up? Is it Donovan Peoples-Jones? I think that when I go listen to other podcasts, a lot of the mention is like, where the Lions wide receiver core scares them the most, I guess, of any position group, especially on the offensive side.
Scares them as far as not being ready for the task?
Right, like if there's a weak point on the roster, it's the wide receiver group.
Yeah.
Khalif Raymond, outside of Lions, probably not a lot of people know Khalif Raymond's name.
Lions know he's a good player, man.
He is a good player. Yeah.
I'm just saying, outside of the Lions, you know, he's not like a household name by any means.
Oh, yeah.
Like a big
it's all about winning.
We have one proven elite receiver and a guy who has been ascending, but has not really proved it, but like has definitely shown the flashes that he should be that guy. I'd say
more than flashes in that NFC Championship game. He was awesome. That's the biggest stage, you know, any Lions been on yet? I mean, from this team.
About the receivers, though, to me, the biggest thing is maybe depth if there's an injury or something.
Right, exactly. That's what scares me with J-Mo.
Not our starting lineup. I think our starting lineup is just really awesome. And, we got enough talent out there that, like, guys like Khalif is probably going to get a lot of catches because they're going to leave him alone, you know, because they're going to double up J-Mo, or they're going to double up Amon-Ra, or they're going to double up Laporta. You know, I mean, we just have a lot of weapons, really nice weapons. It's just the depth is worry.
And you have guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones, who has done 1,000 yards himself in the past. Antoine Green is, you know, someone we've been developing. He has some intriguing possibilities if he's forced into action. And then you got, like, these rookies like Isaiah Williams and that Jalen or whatever his name is from Duke. Like, I don't know. I think this is a more intriguing room than it seems on the surface. I agree, like superstar power, name power after Jameson, it's not the most impressive roster, but there's a lot of workhorses and solid dudes. And then, you know, that if we have to even use them past our running backs and Laporta, like, I feel pretty good weapon-wise.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I just want to mention, too, is that because of Ben Johnson and their scheming, that we get guys open that we don't have to rely on the receiver just on their sheer physical talent to get open like some teams do.
Like we used to.
We scheme always guys open, you know? I mean, Goff, how many times last year did we see Goff drop back and then throw to a guy wide open? Like, a lot. Because whatever Ben Johnson's doing with this scheme and moving guys around, getting guys open, it's working. And if that keeps up to You know, like I said, we don't have to rely on that superstar who can go up and get every 50-50 ball. And like Calvin and, you know, Stafford back in the day. I mean, they had to do that because it's all they had. But we have a lot more than that going for us. So
definitely. Yeah. Bob, your thoughts on the receiver group?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a question mark for this team, I'd probably put receiver, but only but it's a really strong team. I mean, it's a question mark. I think a lot of people would love to have our receiver room, you know, what we got going. And yeah, I think you never know who's going to step up. Like Red Dog's talking about some of those rookies. I mean, like, you know, Amon-Ra wasn't expected to be an all-pro, right? And they drafted him. So maybe some of these guys will be, they're not maybe that level, but you're going to get contributors out there. Well, who's the Illinois guy? What's Isaiah?
Isaiah Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, what'd you think of him in college, Z? You watched him probably a lot.
Well, the Illinois passing attack was not super great, so it's hard to get a
hard to judge
on
to
his
judge.
Talent. To be honest with you, I mean he's a solid receiver. Did I think he was like a number four in NFL roster when I was watching him? Not necessarily, but maybe, you know, it's tough to grade any receiver
number
in Illinois
four.
Offense. So.
Yeah, I think barring injury though, this receiver group's gonna be really good, and
I agree. Like, and actually past four, I don't think he's even really in contention for four on this roster. You got Amon-Ra, you got J-Mo, and then you got Talib, and those guys are locked in at three. I would be surprised if Isaiah Williams even comes close to four, but like maybe the sixth wide receiver.
I was just saying, like, you know, the like at best his ceiling possibly like I don't know. I just didn't.
Reminds me of a Cleef Raymond. He'd be a gadgety guy. He's really dangerous with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, but I think UJ pointed out that the biggest issue is the depth and the question marks on with the depth. I think the starters are fine. Like a guy like J-Mo, Amon-Ra goes down. Like we see him when Amon-Ra goes down. It's not as easy sledding for the Lions offense sometimes, especially on the key third downs. I think losing Josh Reynolds, that'll be really interesting because that was a safety valve for Goff in a lot of ways sometimes, especially just the chemistry they had over the years that they built. So Goff's going to have to find that with somebody else. So hopefully everybody stays healthy. We had a pretty healthy year overall last year, though, knock on wood. Maybe the Lions training.
Even though Amon-Ra had his oblique ripped off the bone or whatever, he still played through it.
Beast.
Yeah. Missed a game. Like, come
on. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
Badass.
So badass.
Yeah.
But like I do feel like J-Mo or St. Brown, if like one of them goes down, the other with the platoon of guys behind them could carry most regular season games. Like I feel like those are your two dynamos, and then behind that you just need a bunch of role players.
And Red Dog, you could include Laporta in there. You know, if they need a receiver, they could throw to him more.
Yeah, you know? Or like Vaki, like he's like alleged to have like they love his ability as a receiver, like or Gibbs. Like, there's a lot of ways to add to the receiving. Yeah.
Let's not forget Tom Kennedy,
TK.
You never forget about him,
TK.
He'll be featured in our next Super Bowl season after we've won the first one.
Yeah,
and we need that guy who just to fill the roster spot because we can't afford a top end receiver anymore. Like the Patriots did with Edelman.
Okay, so the next one I have is more philosophical or strategy than player necessarily or player group. My question is, what do the Lions do defensive scheme-wise? Last year, they started off the year playing a lot of zone, not being aggressive. Towards the end of the year, the blitz heaviest team in the NFL and a lot of man coverage. It left like guys like Cam Sutton on an island and they were not up to the task. And they held their own. They got some turnovers. It wasn't, you know, it left guys like Vildor, the one with Ayuk on a deep coverage,
which he was perfectly up to for not a freaky bounce, man.
So So what are the Lions leaning towards more schematically, I guess, on a defense side and Aaron Glenn? I wish Connor was here, you know, talk about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
But
well, let me take it first, just because I had a thought at the top of my head. But I'd say the Lions like being aggressive. I think they do like that style of football and that they carried into the playoffs. And I think the way they adjusted their roster, they'll do more of what they were doing at the end of last year. They're going to be doing a lot of blitzing. And I think they're going to, with the stickier coverage out there, they're probably going to get home a little more on these sacks. So
yep,
that's what I think. I think they won't adjust. I agree away with from you, that.
But Bob, I 100% agree with you. Man versus zone, I think we're going to go heavy man coverage this year, probably 80% of the time or more. We're going to go man because we're going to have the personnel to finally do it. And, yeah, it's going to allow our pass rush to just have a field day, man. Hutch is probably in for his best year ever. 20 sacks maybe is definitely possible for him. It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
The goal for you guys is to get Hutch away from double and triple teams as much as humanly possible. But that requires other guys in the roster to step up.
What do you think, Z? You think they're going to change what they're doing?
I do think they scale back a little bit, at least a start. I don't think, again, they came into the year with a different scheme, so I don't think the goal was to turn into this blitz-heavy team. I think they did out of necessity because the pass rush wasn't getting there at all.
I agree.
So and they had some personnel changes, like Iffy, much better playing in the box than out of the box. So I think it does depend, but if you have Iffy in the game, you got to put him in the box. That he's a monster in there.
But he's also picking off passes deep, so I'm not sure where he fully needs to stay.
Well, yes.
Put him in a box, like Cool Hand Luke. Put him in a box.
Well, maybe, like, I think, here's what I think. I agree with Z, we're going to scale it back, because there's a fundamental statistical advantage to being able to rush the quarterback with less than five guys.
Right.
If you can pressure and sack the quarterback with only a four-man rush, you will have a huge advantage downfield in coverage. And so, obviously, that's the ideal. A four-man generated pressure and sack or whatever, so you can leave more men in coverage. That being said, I think what they did in their blitzing out of desperation somewhat last year was discovered. Some people were really freaking good at it, a la Iffy Melifonwu. That man seemed to have a magic about him when he was blitzing, man. He just changed everything. So I think they'll use it more strategically, and I think it'll be more effectively. I don't think we're going to be a blitz-happy team because we'll be able to generate pressure without having to dedicate more resources. Same thing with our run defense. I think we're going to be more effective with a guy like DJ Reader and a more mature like Campbell, because like they're not going to have to dedicate as many resources to stop the run this year like they did last year. This whole defense is just going to be able to operate more efficiently in general, but I still think you're going to see plenty of creativity with all these different diverse weapons. Like, you're going to want to blitz Branch sometimes. You're going to want to blitz Iffy. You're going to want to blitz some of our athletic linebackers. I fully expect them to be aggressive, but they're going to be much better at just getting there without blitzing too. So that'll be, you know, they'll use it at the right times.
Yeah, I largely agree. I think they'll have more confidence at least going into the season with the personnel they have up front. And to that note, speaking of defensive front, UJ, you mentioned defensive line. You mentioned, will Oruzureke make the roster, and will he perform finally to kind of the level that we're hoping for? I guess we'll go around really quick. Do we think he'll make the roster?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say a tepid yes.
Tepid, yes.
I mean, it's a tough one. You got Reader, obviously, Ali McNeil, then Broderick Martin, who he hasn't even touched the field yet. Kaminsky, and tackle.
It could be a numbers game, a sheer numbers game. And
it might depend on how Betts looks, too, in camp. He's not a guarantee to make the roster.
No, he's not.
If he outperforms, I could see maybe a guy like Levi being dropped. You got to drop somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we get so many options there now. But, I mean, unproven yet, like Wingo and guys like
if
that.
If I had to guess right now, I do think he makes it, but it will. He's going to have to really outperform what we've seen out of him thus far. He's showing slight flashes last year. But I think they're still expecting more. And
he's got to show it consistently.
Just being available is his number thing. He has to get through camp healthy. If he gets through camp healthy, I have faith in his upside and talent that we put a second round pick on for him. I think, and they've been waiting for that investment to mature, just like Iffy last year. I think they're very interested. If he has a really, I don't think it's like slanted against him as much as you guys seem to think. I think they very much want to see this man become what he's capable of, because he has freaky potential. Like, he was his explosions, his size, and actually him putting on weight of 15 pounds of muscle has me super intrigued, because he came in as more of like a Aaron Donald undersized, like explosive type. But now he's like, he's got that beef on him. I don't know, man. I think he could be an absolute force. And I heard somewhere that he was our best rated pass rusher from the interior down the stretch last year. So that also makes me feel confident that he's gonna finally see his potential this year.
Definitely. All right. Is there any other questions I missed? At least high level questions that you guys didn't get to touch on, that you wanted to talk about here.
High level questions.
High level.
Like, what did Martha Ford? What did Sheila Hant Ford have for dinner last night? Guess. High level only. That's as high as you get in Lions.
All right. Hey, did anybody see the interview with Chris Spielman? He did like an hour interview with his brother Rick and some guy from CBS or whatever is doing the interview. Anybody see that?
I did not.
I sent it in the link. You know, you guys didn't watch
it. It's a solid interview.
I didn't watch it, no.
It was fascinating, man. Spielman is a very interesting guy. And then it's just funny because he was like, he's very open because he's buddies with this guy interviewing him. And he was telling this story about him and Rick when they were kids. And they're like 12 years old. They used to play a game where they have to drop their drawers and they take a tape ball and they throw it at each other's nuts. And the guy, and see if he'd flinch or whatever. Like, he says, if that doesn't make you tough, nothing will, you know? Like, it was pretty funny. So, wow. You get a chance to watch the interview. And it's not just for that, but I mean, he's a very interesting guy. And I think he had a lot to do with what's going on here right now. So,
definitely.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I think we have a lot more to look forward to in the next week once training camp officially starts off. All the rookies report. But, you know, it's just good to be back talking about the Lions. It's been a month and a half. Took a nice little break. And now we're diving into it, baby. I don't know if we'll have one next week or in 2 weeks, but it'll definitely not be this long layoff going forward as the season is really starting to ramp up. The first preseason game
on the minds
is on August 8th. So keep that note. We're less than a month away from the first preseason game.
Yeah.
Anyways, right, I want to thank SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. YouTube at DTBK_Lions. Search us on there. Just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'll have a lot more stuff coming up this season on there. A lot to look forward to. Thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
We're a little rusty. It's all right. It's all right.
Hey, for the first one of the
year. Yeah, not
we sounded better than the national anthem at the home run derby.
Oh, yeah. That was horrible. Apparently, the woman was drunk.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty fun. Yeah, it's pretty bad, though.
Say we sound better than Northwest's Lion King thing.
What?
No, it's all that the Nepo kid or whatever, Kanye West kid, getting the like a big role in a Lion King stage play, and like she's just awful. it's pretty funny. Like, a lot of people paid a lot of money for that too, but the rest of the show is supposed to be really good, so I guess it made up for it.
All right.
So, here you go, Run Dog, with the Hollywood Minute.
There you go.
Thanks, Run Dog.
Anytime.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back soon talking about the beginning of training camp. And last but not least, as always, go.
Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.